Amen. So good to be back at Berean Baptist Church. So thankful for this church. I love this church. I love its preacher. I love its staff, especially one girl that's married to a boy that's on staff. I won't mention any names. I won't embarrass anybody, but just real thankful. Real thankful for the music, the godly music, the good Sunday school lesson this morning, and just to be in church. Amen. It's good to be here. And looking forward to preaching. Our family's been out of pocket. We've been on a kind of a short vacation over, in all places, Kansas. Now, I have an utter disdain for Kansas. I shouldn't say that as a preacher, especially on a Sunday morning. There's probably people that grew up in Kansas. And I love you. I just hate the sin of Kansas. I just hate it. But we went over there and stayed in Overland Park, Kansas. And we were over there doing some things really in Kansas City. We tried to spend most of our money in Kansas, in Missouri side, instead of getting into Kansas. But I did, on Wednesday night, we needed a church to go to, and Brother Stewart, Pastor Stewart's over there in Olathe, Kansas. So contacted him, and he said, Brother Hastings, he said, we're having Vacation Bible School. Come on over. And we just got done with Vacation Bible School a week ago, 2 weeks ago now. And then we came down here for two or three nights of Vacation Bible School. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I said, I'm just almost Vacation Bible Schooled out. But if I can shake it off, brother, I'll come. And he's like, yeah. So we went, and it was just utter chaos. It was utter chaos that Vacation Bible School is. And we had good fellowship, and we talked for a little bit. And I said I was going to be down here bringing. He told me he was coming next week. So I'm supposed to just to get you ready for him. He's the big name, the big marquee. And so he would be coming. So I'm just going to try to, you know, prep you for him when he gets here. All right. So find your Bibles this morning in the book of 1 John. Don't stand yet. And if you're in the middle, know where Little John is, 1 John. If you go back to the very last book, the book of Revelation, put it in reverse. You'll back up through Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and you'll get to 1 John. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to look at the entire chapter this morning, really focusing in on verses 5 through 10, and really what I've titled the message, Fellowship with God. Now, Pastor Abels, I got saved underneath Pastor Abels. I call him preacher, call him preacher, but not being underneath him, since I'm a pastor up here, I sometimes will refer to him back as Pastor Abels, but I got saved, I think, like Pastor Abels. I'm of same fellowship with him. I often think about the way he thinks, and so I know, and I still listen to preachers' messages, and I can, and I know he says this, if I had a title. Now, he always has a title. If I had a title, and maybe that's for Brother Lance, I don't know, but if I had a title, it'd be Fellowship of God. And if I had a subtitle, it would be The Missing Piece for This Generation. All right, that's my subtitle. And so I'm trying to give you some comfort food that your preacher's gone. Just try to make it real close to that. And if you really want comfort food, come back tonight. I seen you're in the Kings and Prophets on Sunday night, so that's where I'm going to preach tonight. And I guarantee you, I will mess up the names just like Pastor Abel's. It will be identical. And I'll add syllables and syllabuses and stuff like that. And I'll do the whole same thing. All right, so you come back tonight. But I'll plan on preaching the Bible just like he plans on to. And in here in our text this morning, it's going to be a little different Sunday morning message. Normally, Sunday morning messages are a little more evangelistic because of maybe visitors and lost people in the crowd, and in any service, we'll give an invitation for the gospel. And we're going to talk about salvation today, but really the aim of this letter is written to believers, to Christians, and specifically in the area of fellowship with God and the problem that sin brings in a believer's life. And so we're going to deal with that this morning. If I was to say this morning that we were dealing with sin, the issue of sin, probably wouldn't have been a big crowd that would come out. If I said we're going to deal with the issue of sin in Tim Alexander's life, this place would be packed. It would be absolutely packed. But we're not going to deal with just Brother Tim's sin. We're going to deal with Brother Hastings' sin and every one of our sins. If you're a believer today, we still have an enemy that's called sin that tries to break our fellowship with God. And the so importance of this letter, and the author, obviously the human author is John, the divine author, God, the Holy Spirit, writes down this letter, pins this epistle, this little letter, five chapters long, in really not in an uncertain way. It's not a letter that vacillates or has some probabilities or something like that. It is very authoritative. It uses the word know, K-N-O-W, 27 times. And John writing is dealing with an issue from Gnosticism. That's kind of a big word. That word Gnosis means knowledge. And it's kind of the original know-it-alls, people that thought they knew everything. And John is going to write some things that we know. And he's going to really combat some of those issues. And really, John in this letter writes in four places, these things write we unto you, or write I unto you. And it specifically says why he's writing the letter. Four things. I want to just highlight them for you. In verse 4 of chapter 1, it says that your joy may be full. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says that ye sin not. So these things I write unto you that you sin not. Chapter 2, verse 26, it says concerning them that seduce you. And in chapter 5, verse 13, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And so those four statements are why the letter was written. So we don't have to guess about that. And it's written. And it has to deal with eternal life, but mainly about everyday life. And someone said this, that John wrote five letters. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation as a human author. And the Gospel of John's about salvation. I mean, if I was going to tell a person that was not saved, where should I read in my Bible, the Gospel of John would be where I would tell people. It's clear about how a person must be born again and how you have to be saved. And that the Son of God is God, and that he came and died in our place, and that he was buried and rose again the third day. And it's written that these things that we might believe and that we might have eternal life. And so the Gospel of John is certainly about salvation. Well, when you read the little letters of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, it's more about sanctification, about how to live a life every day as a saved person, about how to deal with sin, about how to have your joy be full, about how to deal with seduction and error and false teachings in your life, and not to bid Godspeed to someone that would bring in a false teaching. And so these little letters are written that we might know how to live, that we might know that we have eternal life. And then the last letter he wrote was the book of Revelation. It's a great study, and about glorification, about how one day we're going home, that Christ is coming back. And so salvation, sanctification, glorification. And so in this letter this morning, we're going to talk really about fellowship with God, walking with God, and what I would say is the missing piece, P-E-A-C-E, yeah, is the key for our generation. And I want to hope to show you that to you, that, you know, today in churches, many churches are scared to death to lose young families and young people. And it does my heart good to see all these teenagers sitting up here on the front row. That's wonderful. And I'm going to make use of them tonight. So don't scatter on me tonight, all right? I need your help tonight in the message. But what we need to do is not put disco balls up and paint the walls black, or try to contemporarize services, or change our Bible, or, you know, try to modernize. We don't need any of that stuff. That's nonsense. A church is never meant to compete with the world, nor should it. And it's not going to outworld the world and try to keep the young people. The missing component that keeps young families, young teenage people coming to church is having a walk with God. A genuine fellowship with God, of knowing him in salvation, but then developing that relationship that is so close that there's no other place that you'd want to go. If things come up, if hard times come, like think of the disciples, and they, Jesus said, fellas, you go away also? And they said, where can we go? And so when we come to tough times and challenges that is coming to our nation and our churches, that is coming to us right now, the wickedness and the evil that's out there, what we have to do is know Christ and have a great fellowship. And so this is a very practical message this morning to deal with what every one of us deals with, and that's sin in our life. And I hope to take the royal robes off today and not pretend that, hey, you know, we're Christians, we don't sin. John would say, if we say that we have no sin, we're a liar. All right, so we're going to deal with sin this morning, and how to handle it and what to do with it. So if you're able to, will you stand? We'll give reverence reading God's word. Let's look in verse 1 of 1 John. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, we need your help this morning. We're so thankful for the precious word of God and for the authority that lies within it. We ask your choice blessings on the reading, preaching of it, and rest our attention for these next few moments. Help us understand this enemy of sin that we all struggle with and deal with. And Lord, as believers today, those that know Christ as their Savior, those that are saved today, God, I pray that you help open our eyes to the need of great fellowship with you and how this sin in our life hinders that. And for those, Lord, that have never tasted the good grace of God, Lord, that have never been born again, never been saved, Lord, I pray that you convict them, draw them unto your Son, that they might be saved today. We ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing for the Word of God this morning. This first chapter emphasizes fellowship. Now, with a Baptist church, and I'm a pastor of a Baptist church, and I'm Baptist by conviction, not by convenience. When you say the word fellowship with Baptists, usually they think food. Potluck. Or people drinking out of a paper cup and eating donuts. That's fellowship. And that's part of it, but that's not exactly all that the Bible talks about fellowship. And when it comes to fellowship, it's so important in a Christian's life because at the heart and the root of so many problems in our churches and our families individually, of moving away from the timeless practice of simply going to a church, hearing the hymns sung, hearing a great choir sing, hearing the Word of God read, taught, preached, responding to that in a home where family devotions are being put aside and not performed anymore, where families are no longer giving reverence to a Bible, to a Holy Bible, to the things of God, the house of God, holy living, sanctified, set apart, being different from the world. Instead, contemporization of all that, modernization of it. I'm a Christian, but I'm going to look exactly like the world. I can talk, have the same language, go to the same places. We're going to make our churches look like that. Instead of having respect and reverence from the house of God, we're going to try to dumb things down, maybe get rid of a pulpit, get rid of the tie, get rid of the jacket, set a stool down on the platform, maybe a chair, a couple of chairs and a coffee table, and we're just going to talk amongst each other. We're just going to make it really, really relevant. Why are we doing that? Well, it's a substitute for trying to know God. To go to intellectualism, to different types of doctrine, to try to make yourself feel like I'm close to God, that I know God, that I love God, I have a great relationship with God. And so there's this swapping out of something that is very timeless, that has been very true over the time. And I'm not just talking about traditionalism or what or anything like that. I'm just talking about a genuine fellowship, a closeness with God, that the Bible tells us that it would give us real joy, that our joy would be full. Amen. If we have this type of fellowship with God. Amen. So we don't have to find a substitute for it. We don't have to find relevance. We don't have to try to make something out of the world to try to help us feel like we're where we need to be in our Christian life. And so John writes in this text, in the very beginning in verses 1 through 3, he's an eyewitness. He's given a testimony that we know who Christ is. Again, I'm not going to take time to go into some of the teachings of the Gnostics and what they were saying about that, but he's saying, listen, we have beheld him. He's from the beginning. We've heard. We've laid our hands upon him. We know him. And this knowledge that we have of him, we want you to have, and we're going to declare unto you a message that you might have fellowship and that you might have joy and that you might have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. Now, in verse 5, it says, this then is the message. And the reason for the message, again, verse 4, that these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, that you might find the joy, the happiness, the the satisfaction that is longing in every person's life, every human's life. And there's this void that we want to know God. We want to know Him and be close to Him. And God made man in His image. And in His original design was to walk with man in the garden, cool of the day. Sin came in and separation happened. And so man has this desire to know God, to walk with Him. And oftentimes we'll satisfy that in a lot of different ways. It could be becoming successful, make a lot of money, maybe have a family, have children. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but that's not the chief end of man. And so we have to know how to have joy, how to go through this life. Listen, if you know me, I love laughing. I love having fun. Listen, there's people in this room that has a kindred spirit because they're funny is my funny. And I laugh and I'm like, that's my people right there. Their jokes are the same thing that I like. But there's also fellowship in this room, not because we're just in common that we have a common humor about us, but hopefully we have a common Savior about us. Now, let me give you an illustration. If you like barbecue and cooking and smoking meats and different rubs and different techniques, all those different things, and you're into that, man. You love meat and cooking meat and you go to work and you got a coworker, and that coworker's also into grilling and cooking meats and the latest techniques and how to make this, that, and you know, all these different, and you walk in at 8 o'clock in the morning and he's your coworker and you're gonna spend 8 hours with him and you both love grilling, cooking meat, smoking meat, and you're going to have some good fellowship during the day. I mean, 8 hours is going to be like this. We're going to be talking, hey, I did this, and oh, yeah, and you're doing your work, but you're having fellowship. You got something in common.
That's right.
If you go to work and you love grilling meat and all those different things I said, and your coworker is the vice president of PETA, is anti-meat, vegetarian, wants to shut down all grilling in Springfield, Missouri because of the carbon footprint and the climate change that's taking place. At 8:01, you're going to be like, get me out of here, man. Get me out of here. There's not going to be a lot of fellowship. Get your job done. You're going to work together. Be a good testimony. But you're not like, hey, after work, you want to go get a vegan burger or what? You know, I don't know even what they call it, a super meat or whatever it is. It's just not going to be there. And so fellowship at its core is something in common. I've heard described as two fellows in a ship rowing the same way. And I think that's easy for me to remember. But we want to have something that's in common. Something that if we're really going to have fellowship, it has to be based upon something that is common. Well, then John gives this is the message. And here's where the principle, and I'm going to give you 3 points this morning. The first one is this one. The principle is that God is light. So this is where we have to find fellowship. Not in common ground where, you know, God, you meet me halfway. You know, God made man in his image, and man has been returning the favor ever since. He tries to make God in his image, in his favor, and what he wants God to be like. And this is who God is to me. Listen, friend, God is who he is by his word and what he's revealed himself to us. And that commonality is that God is light. All right, so that's the foundation, that's the principle. If we're going to fellowship with God, if we're going to walk with God, we have to know that God is light. Not God is like light, God is light. Now, the Bible says different things. God is love, God is holy. But here in this message, when John is specifically writing in his text how to have fellowship with God, how to have fellowship with one another, the principle is God is light. Now, we know some things about light. If you would, you know, think about light and what the Bible certainly has said about the light. There's a clear message there. But light is needful for growth. It's needful for production of fruit. If you have a plant and it's in darkness, it's not going to grow. Light is very important in our life. If you move up to Alaska and it's dark, that has an effect on us. So they put lights on them to try to help with the chemicals that's being released in your body. It gives you a drive. If you go through a week where there's dark clouds and storms and there's no sunshine, you get this melancholy, and all of a sudden that big ball of yellow pops out, and you're like, ah, man, sunshine. Here we go. And so it drives us. Light gives messages of fiber optic. It gives warnings. If you're driving your car and there's a little light that comes on in your dash, says check engine, you just get a piece of electric tape and put right over the top of that, and then you don't have to worry about it. You fix the message. No, that warning, that light glows and says something's wrong. Light dispels darkness. Listen, if you come into a room and it's pitch black, and listen, this is for the teenagers because I know they got night lights in their room, so I'm just helping them here, is that if you go in that room, you kick on that light switch, dark hides under the bed, hides in the closet. Dark flees light. Light overcomes darkness. And so the Bible says that when we get saved, we become a child of God, we become children of the light. That we walk in the light. As he is like, the Bible is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so the Bible tells us a lot about light, what light is. And so light is the principle, the basis on which when a person gets saved. Salvation is a matter of life and death. And you have to receive Christ as your Savior. If you die, you'll spend eternity in hell. There's no, the Bible is very clear about that. It's black and white.
That's right. Amen.
Fellowship is a matter of light and darkness. Not life and death. And so what we're going to talk about today about having true fellowship and walking in the light is not in order so you can go to heaven. You don't want to misunderstand that. And hopefully when we go through this message today, it'll make some clear demarcations of, okay, this is about salvation, about my sin, and this is about fellowship and about my sin. Because sometimes I think that gets confused and people think, well, you're saying I've got to live some certain way to go to heaven? No. No, you have to receive what Christ did for you on the cross to go to heaven. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible tells us that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us are sinners. Everyone in this room, if you go and take a breath, you're a sinner. If you blink your eyes, you're a sinner. Now, blinking isn't sin. Breathing isn't sin. I'd encourage both of those things. I'm just saying, if you're in this room, you're human, you're doing this, you're a sinner. Sin is simply disobeying God's word. Whatever God's word says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, bear false witness, covet, honor your mom and dad, those are some Ten Commandments. Let me give you this one. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All right? So sin is just simply missing the mark. We're all sinners. And our sin condemns us to hell. The Bible says that in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we understand this morning, I hope you do, that Christ came, died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day. That's the gospel, and that's what saves us. And when you get saved, all your sins, past, present, future, are all covered under the blood.
Amen.
All paid for.
Amen.
A bad thought a year from now, knowing to do good, not doing it a year from now, is forgiven under the blood if you're saved.
Amen.
You're saved. Fellowship is not a matter of life and death. Fellowship is a matter of light and darkness. This is a missing part in Christian's life. So I get saved. Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Going to heaven. What does it matter how I live? What does it matter how I walk and what I do and where I go? I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm under the blood. If I go to this church, if I go to some other kind of church, if I live a holy life, if I don't live a holy life, what does that matter? Are you saying I got to live a certain way for God to love me? No. God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has proved his love for us. Our living a certain way does not earn God's favor for us to go to heaven or not go to heaven. That's not the issue. Our living a certain way is for our fellowship with God. All right, so if I want to know God, if I want to walk with God, if I want to be close to God, I got to walk in the light. All right, here's what a lot of us do. Okay, God, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. This is what my life's about. I'm into this, I like playing this, video games, I like this, I go here. This is who I am, God. This, you made me like this, and this is who I am, you created me like this. And so, God, if we're going to have fellowship, these are my likes and my interests, and here, God, you've got to come down and find common ground. That's not how we fellowship with God. We fellowship with God by walking in the light. He is light, and in him, our text says, is no darkness at all. Amen. He is perfect. He is holy. He is sinless. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, that's the issue that John's going to tell, that the problem is. And so we see the principle here is that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. That's where we have to walk if we're going to walk with God. The problem is, in verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, you're going to see in verse 6, and verse 8, and verse number 10, these if we say. Now, what John is saying is some people are saying that. Some people are saying that I can live however I want to live and still be in fellowship with God. Wrong. That's verse 6. Verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin. So some people says, well, it's not a matter of me just walking in sin and being in fellowship with God. I don't even think that I sin anymore. Wrong. Amen. Well, verse 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, have not sinned. So not just have no sin, but have never sinned, we make him a liar. Now, these false problems are a step away. First is saying, well, I can live however I want and have fellowship with God, or I don't even know if I still sin, I don't even sin, or I've never sinned. That is further away from the truth, and it's this downward progression, and John's going to deal about sin in a believer's life, and this is the problem, that sin interrupts fellowship with God. So here's an issue that's happening in Christianity today is that a person gets saved, and praise God for every person that gets saved. But then they begin to live a life where they say, you know what? I don't like all this churchy holiness, separation, different living, all that different stuff. I think I can live however I want and be close to God. And John would say, lie.
Amen.
Lie. It's a lie.
You
can't hold sin in your life. That which we know to do is right, or that which the Bible has clearly said to us that we're not supposed to do, and habitually walk in that sin and walk with God.
Amen.
Walk in the light. See, as in light, we have fellowship. If you walk in darkness, it's not going to be there. Notice what it says in verse number 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Again, this is not for salvation. This is for sanctification. This is for walking close with him and being in fellowship with him. And so we realize that what the problem is that sin hinders our fellowship with God. And so what God has given as a solution to that problem in verse 9 is if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Amen.
Now, I hope you have that verse highlighted in your Bible.
Amen.
It's a wonderful verse. Let me give you another companion verse. Go to the book of Proverbs in chapter 28. Give you a companion verse to this verse here. When it comes to dealing with sin in our life, our choices, God has given us the ability to have honesty and confession. In Proverbs 28, look in verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And so our choice is cover or confess. Be honest. Admit that, you know what? There's some sin in my life. And I can pretend on the outward, I can act like everything's okay and I'm walking with God, I'm as close to God as I've ever been. And yet if there is sin in my life, that sin hinders my closeness, my fellowship to God. We're going to try to get practical with that application here in just a minute. But just know this, that the option is to be honest. Honesty. Honest before God. Now, praise God, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You don't have to come to me after service and say, preacher, I'm telling you, you're exactly right. Sin, I've got hidden sin in my life, and I'm just going to tell you, I really don't want to know. You don't have to confess to me. Confess to God. But you cannot pretend that you are close to God and living a life where there is sin in your life, where God comes along, the Holy Spirit of God comes along, convicts you, guides you. The Bible is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. The Word of God tells us what sin. I've hid His Word in my heart that I might not sin against God. We read the Bible. We walk in the light. More than we walk in the light, the more obvious sin around us becomes, and we confess sin and we get cleansing from it.
Right.
Now, praise God to get something clean. I've got a white shirt on. I told this up in our church the other day that in the old days, hairspray had a chemical in it that if you got an ink pen mark on your white shirt, you could spray that hairspray on it, put it in a washer and dryer, dry it, and it came out. Now today, I don't know what the chemical was, but it's not there. We've got an ozone layer, but I've got a closet full of ink-stained shirts, and it's terrible. But if you take something to the dry cleaners and you give it to them, and listen, oftentimes you have to point out, hey, there's a stain here, there's a stain here, there's a stain, and they start putting these little pieces of tape on it, like, you know, and it's all, and they take it, and then they give it back to you, and it's completely clean. You're like, yeah. Yes! And you put it on, and then you take a lick of ice cream, and it gets on. You're like, oh, no. Back to the cleaners. Clean again. Oh, no. Back to the cleaners. That cycle can repeat itself a lot. Hopefully, you get that shirt out of the cleaners the fifth time, you put a bib on. When you make some provision. You say, I got to protect myself. I'm going to eat my ice cream cone like this. You start changing some things. You say, I got to change something. I keep having to take this to the cleaners. And that's the same way in our life. We don't become sinless, but we should start sinning less.
Amen.
If we're going to fellowship with God.
Amen.
And we have to be honest. We got to quit pretending, hey, you know, God's cool and God's hip like I am. No, God is light.
Amen.
And if I'm going to walk with Him, I got to walk in the light.
Amen.
I got to do what the Bible says in order to have fellowship with Him. One writer said this, and I think it's a keen observation, that the blood of Jesus never cleansed an excuse. Cleanses sin.
Amen.
If we confess our sin, not our mistakes, not our excuses, it's not my fault. No, we're sinners.
Amen.
We're saved. And sometimes we say this, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I can't help it. I'm going to sin. Well, listen, friend, if you want to have fellowship with God, you need to begin to walk in the light.
Amen.
And make decisions in your life. You say, you know what? I'm going to stop listening to that music. I'm going to stop watching those shows. I'm going to stop going that place. It's not even evil, but it causes me to get in a spot where a temptation can come for sin. And you're going to begin to make provision. You're going to put a bib around you.
Amen.
You're going to say, you know what? What I do for my son, he will go to Andy's. He says, can I get chocolate? I look at his shirt he's wearing. Nope. Well, I like that shirt. You eat Andy's chocolate, it's going to be all over that shirt. And Andy's chocolate is the hardest thing to get out. Now, if I don't like a shirt, I was like, yeah, I'll get you a big old double stack cone right there. But you make provision. You say, you know, I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to do that. Listen, you can't this morning, if you're saved, you don't have scriptural baptism, say, I'm walking with God. I'm as close to Him as I ever can be. That's not true, because the Bible tells you you should be baptized.
Yeah.
Well, I'm walking with God. I'm close to Him. I'm listening to this contemporary Christian music, and man, it just really stirs my soul. Listen, it's moving you emotionally, but it's not where you need to be spiritually.
Amen.
And you can't justify worldly, carnal, secular things in your life and say you're in fellowship with God.
Amen.
John is going to go on further, and we don't have time to go through preaching the whole book, but he's going to say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Right.
This world is an enmity between God, and it's an enemy of us. The world, the flesh, the devil. And so we want to make sure that we're walking in the light, we're honest with ourselves, and we make confession for sin. The problem is a sin. The principle is light. The problem is that there's sin, and we're sinners. Now, I've always said if there's going to be an 11th commandment, it should be, thou shalt not kid thyself. Because sometimes we think, oh, I don't have a problem. No, listen, we all struggle. And John is saying, if we say we don't, we're a liar. So let's just come clean. Let's just be honest. I have trouble with sin. And there's some besetting sins in our life that we have to make provision to say, you know what, I'm going to cast those off. I'm going to make sure that I can run my race, and I've got to make sure I'm not around that. I don't watch that. I don't listen to that. I don't give myself an opportunity to partake of that sin, and I begin to be real careful. Why would I do that? So I can have fellowship with God.
Amen.
And that walk and fellowship with God will keep you in church. It'll keep you in a godly environment.
Amen.
Because you won't want to go anywhere else. Your joy will be full. And so we want to make sure that we confess sin. Now, when the Bible says that when we confess, verse 9, we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's not any sin that we can't confess that God won't forgive us.
Amen.
And sometimes we get upset and we say, you know, I am just such a dirty dog. I'm just a dirt bag. I'm terrible. Listen, you are. And so am I. And you know what we have to do? Is learn that, you know, I'm a sinner. God saved me from my sins. I know I'm saved. But what He wants me to do is walk with Him, and what I have to do is be honest.
Amen.
And I've messed up. And listen, you don't have to come tell me. You know, maybe if it's a public sin, you have to deal with it publicly, privately. But I'm saying this before God. You tell God, say, you know what? I'm honest, God. I messed up. And God, will you forgive me? And you know what the Bible says? If we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. A-L-L. Now let me tell you something that helped me a long time ago, and I wrote to the top of my Bible this. The Holy Spirit of God will convict you of unconfessed, unforgiven sin. That's the Spirit of God in our life. When I'm saved and I have the Spirit of God walking within me, I'm thinking, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. And the Holy Spirit is like, warning, 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 conviction, conviction, conviction. And then I say, God, forgive me. And I try to keep a short list, and I confess, and I find mercy, and I say, you know, I'm undeserving. I failed already. I failed last week. I failed this week. And I begin to try to make provision, say, you know, I'm not going to feed the flesh. I'm not going to do this, do that. Try to keep a short list with God. And then when I get forgiveness, you know what I have to do? Move on. Move on. The devil comes along and convicts us of confessed, forgiven sin. There's a difference there. And what he does is he crawls up on your shoulder and says, you're a dirtbag. And accuses you. He's an accuser of the brethren. And he tells you how awful you are and how terrible you are. And he can't believe that you'd failed God that way, and you failed God again, and you did this. And you said you was never going to do that. And you said, and you've already confessed it, and you've already got forgiveness. And the devil comes up and begins to try to grind you into powder and make you feel like, I'm just so terrible. I don't even feel like going to church. I don't even feel like reading my Bible. I just don't even deserve to be in. Listen, that's not the Holy Spirit of God.
That's right. Amen.
You have to indifference those voices and know what's going on. And then what we also have to do is not look like we've been beat with a stick and drinking dill pickle juice all day long. And I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but I'm telling you, I'm just miserable about it. And you're just like, and someone comes up and is like, well, oh, I'm just a sinner, I just fail all the time. And your face is so long, it'd take a $20 bill to get a shave. It's just like, you know what you're doing? You're stuck on your sin. The third thing, the last thing in this text is the priority is not confess, the priority is to walk. The confession is just the solution to the problem. But the priority is to walk in the light.
Amen.
That's what we have to focus in on.
Amen.
If you focus in on how much of a dirt bag you are and a rat bag for the Australians here today, and so you say, if I'm just terrible, and all you do is focus in on yourself and on your sin, listen, you have to get over yourself.
That's right.
If God can forgive you, you forgive yourself.
Right.
Well, I just can't do that. Don't. Listen, you got to get off your high horse. You're not a higher standard than God. If the Holy God of the universe can forgive you, forgive yourself, move on.
Amen.
Move on. And walk with God. And get over it and go on. And learn to confess and keep a short list and walk with God. And if He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the principle is, God is light. The problem, we have sin. Still, as believers, we have sin. The solution to that is to confess, not cover, Don't lie. Don't pretend. Don't act like, you know, hey, I'm a super Christian. I got no problem. I don't ever sin. I don't have ever. No, listen, we all have sin. Hopefully we'll sin less. The provision is confess, don't cover, don't hide. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. You might hide from your parents. You might hide from your spouse. You may have a preacher fooled. You'll never fool the God of heaven.
Amen.
And even this morning, he sees unconfessed, unforgiven sin that hinders our fellowship with him, because he is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's the principle. That's where we have to walk. If we say that we walk in the light and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so we have to be honest. Honest before God. Come clean. Make the confession. Say, God, I've messed up. I want to forsake it. I want to turn from it. I want to repent. And Lord, I want to have good fellowship with you. And when we do that, we find cleansing. And we find fellowship where we can begin to walk again and have the priority in our life of walking with God. God desires divine companionship. That we would walk in light, he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, if you ever have met somebody that is famous, that you're like, maybe they're high on your list of someone that you admire, you adore, that you think, man, I would love to. Maybe it's a professional quilter that you've always wanted to quilt just like them. You've got their picture on their wall, in your wall, in your quilt room. And you're like, if I could just meet that quilter. And next thing you know, they come to town and they call you by name. And you're like hanging out at Cracker Barrel, the quilter's eating place, you know. And people are walking by and they're seeing you with them. And they're like, she knows her, or he knows him, if there's the male quilting champion. And you're like, yeah. As a matter of fact, we got a lot of things in common. You know, we do our stitching the same way. The batting, the backing, or whatever. I don't know. I should have used a different illustration. But we're together, and we've got commonality, and they look at you, and they're like, man, you know them. You're like, yeah, we hang out. We're tight. We're close to friendship. And like, man. And that would be, I mean, wonderful. It's like, well, listen, there's no one better to have a close fellowship with than the God of heaven. There is a sweetness and a joy and a satisfaction that this world cannot touch. No matter who your hero is on earth, no matter who you look up to, no matter who you admire, they pale a far second comparison if you're a Christian, you know God, and you can walk with him. And so don't trade that opportunity to have a sweet, close fellowship with God of heaven so that you can be cool and hip and admired by this world.
That's right.
And try to walk in darkness and not have fellowship with God. I seen just this week, I was sitting next to a lady and there's this heavy music, this beat, this music is going on. It was not contemporary Christian. It was just absolute rock music, or I don't know what it was, but it was just wah, wah. And I look over at her and she is just jigging. I look over her wrist and there's a bracelet that says Romans 12:2. And if you know that verse, it's be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I thought, man. Now, you know what? It's easy to see sin in someone else's life. It's kind of hard to see it in our own.
Yeah.
And so then I started thinking, wonder what's keeping me from fellowship with God. I can wear t-shirts and wristbands and verses, say that I'm close to God, but sin tries to hinder my fellowship. And if the Holy Spirit of God would come to your heart this morning or to my heart and say, you know that you're supposed to be doing this, you've not been doing it. It could be an attitude. It could be an act of forgiveness. Maybe you have bitterness or hatred in your heart. You try to act like, hey, I'm super Christian. I love God and I'm really, really close. I've never been more close to God, but yet you have unforgiveness towards someone even in this church. You lie and do not the truth. And if you really want to have fellowship with God, you have to be honest with yourself, honest with God, and confess it. And ask him to forgive you. He doesn't forgive. The blood of Christ does not forgive excuses. Well, if you knew what they did to me, if you knew how I'd been treated, whoa. He's not looking for an excuse. He's looking for a confession and a forsaking, and then you find mercy. If you're not saved this morning, if you say, well, preacher, so what you're saying is I need to act a certain way, live a certain way before I go to heaven. No, 1,000 times no. If you try to live a certain way to go to heaven, you'll die in your sins.
Amen.
You find salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ, simply by repentance towards God. You say, God, I agree with you. I'm turning from sin, and God, I want to receive your Son as Savior. And you have to do that in your life. Marvel not, ye must be born again.
Amen.
No person will see the kingdom of heaven without Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
And so if you're not saved, I want to invite you to the Savior. If you're saved this morning, and the Holy Spirit of God would convict you of some known sin in your life, would you come and confess it and say, God, I want fellowship with you. Let's stand this morning, have a time of invitation, respond to what John was writing about. Would we be honest? Honest with ourselves, honest with God. John wrote it like this: if we say. What are you saying this morning? More importantly, what will you do? Father, we are so thankful for the Word of God, the convicting power, the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray that you just challenge us in this area of having fellowship with you. And Lord, I do believe it's a missing component, a key area in a Christian's life in our day and age today, that we're trying to substitute so many things for our fellowship with you. And Lord, I pray that we'd understand that you are light, and in you there's no darkness at all. And so God, I pray that we would respond this morning as you guide and direct. I pray if there's some that need comfort and encouragement, that understand that their sins have been covered and forgiven, God, I pray that you'd help them find that today as well. Lord, for the one that's lost, has never been saved, God, I pray that you'd convict them, draw them under your Son, help them to be saved today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As the instruments play,